Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand and take your hymn sheets, and we're going to take hymn number 2 together before we take the word of God tonight. Let's take hymn number 2 together. Hark the voice of Jesus crying, who will go and walk today. Feet are white, ripe and harvest waiting, who will bear the sheaves away. Loud and long the master calls, rich reward he offers free, who will answer gladly saying, here am I, send me, send me. To go. Hark the voice of Jesus crying, oh, we go and walk today. Feet are out and harvest waiting, oh, we bear the sheaves away. Oh, loud and long the master calling, rich reward he offers free, who will answer gladly saying, here am I, send me, send me. If you can not cross the ocean and the distant lands explore, you can find the lost around you, you can help them at your door. If you cannot give your thousands, you can give the widow's smile. What you truly give for Jesus will be precious in His sight. If you can not be the watchman standing on Zion's wall, pointing out the path to heaven, offering life and peace to all. Oh, with your praise and with your bounties, you can do what heaven demands. You can be my faithful Aaron, holding all the prophet's hands.
Let not hear you rightly say, there is nothing I can do.
Yes,
why the Lord of earth and dying, and the master calls for you.
Oh, take the task
he gives you gladly. Let his word your pleasure be.
Answer quickly
when he calls.
Amen. Our Father, cause us to hear your voice tonight. Cause us to have done with lesser things Deliver us from mundane things that waste our space. We ask, O God, that no matter how few we appear to be, you will turn the battle to the gates.
Amen.
You will cause us to arise from this Calebite conference as the remnant that you are looking upon. Amen. To turn the situation around.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, please arise and do your work in this meeting tonight.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord bless you. Amen. In the morning, when I began to look at the remnants, and I say to you that you don't talk of remnants except there has been a consumption. You don't talk of remnants if the whole is intact. You don't speak of remnants if there is no destruction. You don't speak of remnants if everything seems to go well. You only speak of remnants as though they are leftovers. When you talk of remnants, they look so small, insignificantly small, as if they are the ones that were left behind after much ravage had taken place. But we saw something about what the Bible says about the remnants. As we read Isaiah chapter 1, we saw all the troubles, all the corruptions, and the corruptors, all that we saw the devil doing. But when we came to that, verse 9 says, except the Lord had raised remnants, we would have become like Sodom, and our case would have been like Gomorrah. So we are looking tonight, remnants that forestall destruction and brings about transformation. We are looking at remnants. They may not appear prominent. That's why they are remnants. They don't seem to be presently on stage. They don't seem to have the crowd. They don't seem to be prominent. That's why you refer to them as remnants. They look as those that escaped from the destruction that the devil has planned. That's why we call them remnants. When I was ending, I told you that there are several men that rose, that stood out as remnants, those who will not succumb to the maneuvers and the destructions of the enemy in their own day. And so tonight, I want to focus on those men and women who stood up when everything appears to be lost, when everything appears to be destroyed, when it looks as if the center can no longer hold. Those who stood to defend the heritage of our God, even when everyone else seemed to have lost their direction. And I began to look at the life of Elijah in the morning. And I was showing you that all the miracles we saw in the life of Elijah, they were miracles in the context of a man who is standing as a remnant against majority. All the miracles that we talk about him, they only came because he was standing for God as a lonely voice. And they could have dismissed him if not because the hand of God was strong upon his life. When we talk about men like Daniel, who steal the mouth of lions, they did so as remnants. Those who cannot keep quiet. So let's look at these remnants tonight. See what kind of men and women they are. And see what does God have to say about them. And I'm trusting God that tonight, as a continuation of our response to God since morning, several of you will say to God, I want to take my place there. I want to be counted among those that you are recruiting at this point for your purpose to be established in our generation. Permit me to ask you to return to the passage I stopped with in the morning. I stopped looking at 1 Kings and chapter 19. That was where I stopped. And that's where I intend to start tonight. And there are issues I would like us to quickly highlight as we go ahead now. In verse 15, I want to only read, maybe I should read from verse 14, and then I'll go on from there. And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have torn down your altars. They have killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Azael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Azael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel. All those knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the passage I thought I would spend a bit of time upon tonight, as I'm looking at the remnants, those that bring transformation and forestall total collapse and total destruction in the purpose of God. And I'm doing that tonight deliberately, because I perceive that God has come to Calebite Conference this year as if to say, I'm recruiting men and women who will stand in a rescue mission. I'm recruiting men and women who will take their lives by their hands and plunge it to forestall a total and an imminent collapse that is coming on our generation. If God will not get this remnant, then the devil will have his way. What you saw the drama doing is so graphic and is so clear. You might be thinking that it was a drama, but the devil has worked very, very assiduously to make sure that there will be no remnant to forestall a total collapse of the purpose of God in the coming days. I want you to hear me very well. You might see a dancing church now. You might see us making big noise. You might see us doing all kinds of things. That does not affect the devil. And the devil is not particularly bothered about that. He has devised a strategy. And this strategy is very, very aggressive. Very aggressive. One of our brothers was just telling us this afternoon, the way in which children of age 6, the curriculum that they are being exposed to is deliberately aimed at destroying all the values of family living. They are being taught that they must not accept what you call them. When a child is born and says, this is a baby boy, they are being told that baby and say, no, don't let anybody call you a boy if you don't want to be a boy. You are the one to choose whether you want to be a girl or you want to be a boy or you don't want to be any. When a child at 6 was pumped with that kind of idea and whatever he said he wanted to be, they now begin to bring hormones. They pump all kinds of hormones into that system, to that small child system, that will turn her about or turn him around against what God wanted him to be. You say, ah, that is too far away. It's among them. But I want to tell you that just 2 months ago, is it 2 months ago? 1 month ago, there were meetings that one of our sisters had to attend to go and stand on our behalf, where they are discussing the curriculum, primary school curriculum in Nigeria. And one of the battles that she was standing there and fighting, and they're saying, why are you making too much noise about this? Is the agenda of sex education to primary children. And when you look at what they were presenting in the curriculum, small children are being taught what to do. And they are saying, no, this is going to destroy our children. It's going to destroy our family. Said UNICEF has approved it. How can UNICEF begin to impose curriculum that destroyed the West upon us? Anyway, you are sitting down there and you are now a primary school teacher or a secondary school teacher, and a syllabus is handed over to you to teach, and you are teaching what is contrary to your faith. And they're saying, if you don't teach now, these children will not pass. If we will not rise up to fight this battle, if God will not get people to recruit in this meeting, we are going to say, oh God, here am I. Here am I. If I can forestall a total collapse, here am I. If my life can be an answer to the challenge of this present generation, here am I. where we have reached now requires that every competence that we can get to stand and invest for God, it is time. And so as I look at this passage tonight, as little as it is, I'm hoping that God will reach out to your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to begin from Elijah's complaint. Elijah, a warrior. Elijah, a prayer warrior. Elijah, the Bible said, he alone, single-handedly, went in the presence of God and say, oh God, to deal with this recklessness in the land, to stop the recklessness of Ahab and the way he has caused the people of God to sin. The Bible said there was no king like Ahab who did so much evil in Israel, whose wife Jezebel was doing what? Was pushing. But Elijah stood up and took his life in his hand. And he, not with a committee. Or did you know any committee around Elijah? Talk to me. Eh? One man against a whole nation. When he was confronting Ahab and the prophets of Baal, how many people stood with Elijah? You are not talking to me? Did you notice that he stood alone and the whole nation gathered? Do you not know that Elijah was ready to die? If not that God wanted to preserve him. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether you know, countless days of prayer and fasting that Elijah embarked upon as one man against majority to see the will of God done in his own generation. Do you know that the testimony God gave us about Elijah? Do you remember? He said Elijah was a man of what? Of like passion. He prayed casually. How did he pray? He prayed earnestly that it will not rain on the face of the earth. He prayed earnestly. When I was trying to see how he prayed, you go to chapter 18 of the book of 1 Kings, and you saw how the Bible said Elijah put his head where? Let one of you do it for me. Let me see. Stand up. Come and do it. Let's see whether you can do it. Brother, come out. Come out. I want you to see, we are talking about a man who put himself under serious unrest in order to see the purpose of God established. Now, he said he put his head in between his knees. Try it. Let me see. Where is your head? Did you see that he has not put his head in between his knees yet? Bend down, so that your head can enter between your knees. Did you see? And he was in that posture until the heavens opened. He wasn't doing prayer like you do. Some of you are playing when you say you are praying. You are doing acrobatics when you thought you are praying. You thought you are praying when you are moving around. Sister, hallelujah. Shaya baba baba. Amen. Hallelujah. Kariya baba baba. Taya baba. You are playing football in the name of prayer. Did you see where he has put his head? Did he do that for 30 minutes? Eh? Until heavens opened. One man taking the destiny of a nation and say, oh God, I'd rather die than see this nation collapse. Brother, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can go back now. Thank you. Tell me, is your back paining you? That's what it means. That's what it means. Did you see that he's already sweating? That's the prayer we are talking about. I am looking for another Elijah here. I'm looking for a remnant that will say, oh God, I'll give myself no rest until we see a turnaround in Nigeria. A turnaround in our generation. A turnaround. We are not looking for those who play, who just like to speak empty words. Now, Elisha, when he did, I described to you in the morning that what you are calling the miracles of Elijah, they were things that happened to him because he took a stand for God. I said to you in the morning, and I'm just repeating that because I am going forward from that point. Elijah was not the only prophet in the land. There were at least 400 prophets that were always moving up and down in the corridors of the palace. These are professional prophets. Jezebel was paying them to prophesy. You will see them going up and down around local government. Pastor, what are you doing with the local government chairman? Did you see you are carrying one portfolio? For what? These are wicked men. They have ravaged the land and they are your friends. Show me your friends. I'll tell you the kind of man you are. When people who destroy our land, they are your church members. You are a destroyer. How did you preach the gospel and they did not throw you stone? The call of God tonight is for remnants that will take their lives in their hands and say, oh God, I can no longer bear to see wickedness and corruption and collapse in your church. Whatever we have said about our schools, whatever we have said about exam malpractice, it has continued to increase. And it appears as if there is no solution to that. And yet you are teachers there. And when I hear you say, well, what can we do? That's what they are doing. Because you love your life. But Jesus said, those who love their lives, they will lose it. Now, Elijah, when he decided to take a stand, and all these other prophets are dancing and drinking in the palace, and he came and said, "As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, there shall be no rain in this land until you have come to understand that it is God that gives rain." Ahab declared him wanted. So you don't understand what I'm talking about. They sent police after him, that anywhere they see him, he should be arrested. He should be brought, banged. A price tag was put on his head. But God said, "Go and hide." So he was sitting, hiding by a brook. He was drinking water with his bare hand. And the food he ate, it was a bird. I'm asking you, does the bird have hand? If a bird is bringing food, what does he use? He will use his beak. I was asking you in the morning, if your wife, did I say, in fact, if a mango fruit were to fall and a bird went and pick it and pick it and pick it, will you eat it? Talk to me. But that was the food that Elijah ate. That was what Elijah was feeding. When bird will come and drop something, he will eat. And a time came when even the brook dried. But that's not what I'm dealing with now. Elijah came to a point when it was time for his life to finish. And he began to say, "Oh God, I have been zealous and I've been jealous for you. They have broken down your altars. They have killed all your prophets. I am the only one left. And they are still looking for how to kill me." Was he telling a lie? Talk to me. Was he telling a lie? Was there not an SOS sent after him from the palace? Jezebel said, "Let the gods do to her. If she does not bring the head of Elijah down as he did to all those prophets of Baal." Yes, I know that you say, "Why was he running away? Why was he running away?" I decided not to look at Elijah from that point tonight. I decided to look at him from the angle of one man. One man who had nobody to fellowship with. You are not hearing me. One man whom all other prophets regarded as a sadist. One man who will pray and pray and pray and pray until God will do something. One man. Even the king looked at him and said, "Oh, my enemy, have you come?" He said, you and your mother's and your father's house, you are the troublers of Israel. You. Did you see that he was a man who was ready to die? He confronted authority in his time. Now, something happened and he felt tired. He said, "I'm the only one left. There's no one running around with me. Rather than die,
in the hand of Jezebel. Lord, do what? Take my life now. Take my life now. It's better that I die in your hand than that Jezebel will take me and make me a ridicule. But because I know what Jezebel was going to do. Do you know what he was going to do? If she caught him, she will not only just tie him behind the chariot and drag him around the town and say, see what Baal has done to my enemy. Then he will have hung him where? At the public square for everybody to be seen. And Elijah said, I better die than face such a ridicule. Was he wrong to pray such a prayer? Eh? But that's the matter tonight. All of you listen to me. Some of us, we have been fighting for years. And you see our head has grown gray. Who will take over? Which one of you? And you know, it is not at this stage we started running up and down. It is not at this age that we started running up and down. Who will take over? Who will be concerned enough to say, oh God, don't let these men, don't let them die out before we take over from them. Don't let them disappear from the stage before we collect the battle. This meeting tonight, God is asking, where are the remnants who will take their lives in their hand and say, oh God, enough of looking for my pleasure. Enough of making empty noise that does not amount to anything. Enough of doing things only for show and for self-propaganda. I want to lay down my life for what you want to do in my generation. The call that God is bringing tonight is not for those who just want to be making empty noise. It's for those who are saying, oh God, the battle has become fierce. I cannot be alive and watch everything scatter, collapse, and washed away. Here am I, Lord. Do something with my life. That's the call tonight. That's the call for men and women tonight. That's the call that the Holy Ghost is pressing upon our heart to place before you tonight. Are you hearing me? Eh? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing the word of God tonight? So when Elijah said, I have been zealous for the Lord. I have gone up and down. They have destroyed your altar. They have killed your prophets. Even me, they are looking for how to finish me. Rather than allow a useless, uncircumcised Jezebel to have upper hand on my life, take my life now. Did you see God? God persuaded him, said, no, arise and eat, for the journey before you is still too great. The man said, if the journey is still before me that you are talking about, let me just go. I don't know how to tell you. I have met people who started crying for revival while they were young. And one of them called me the other time. Said, Brother Gbile, I thought I would see a transformation in my days. Are we still going to go on like this? And I said, yes, sir. Until the Lord comes, how can we stop? And unfortunately, the younger preachers, they are vagabonds. They are only concerned about what they will eat. They are bothered about how to dress big, how to talk big. And they do not consider it anything wrong to be sleeping with girls. And the devil already saw that we are weak and that we are porous and that there's nothing. If he dares and said, let me dare them, he would discover that there was nothing. That's why this meeting is becoming a critical meeting to pray about tonight. You know, when the children of Israel, when they have missed it, when Eli has been rejected, when his sons have been rejected, they went to face a battle with the Philistines. Do you remember that battle? Eh? And they went and carried the ark. They thought that symbolism is equal to reality. And I see so many of our brothers, instead of doing something serious, I see them going back to carry symbolisms. I see them wearing prayer cloth. Is prayer cloth equal to praying? I'm asking you. When you were interceding and praying, did you remember to wear any prayer cloth? Have you ever read in the Bible that God decided to sew a prayer uniform? When we have left reality, we go about for symbolism. They are speaking bogus, but there is no reality. Now I put it to you. Where are the remnants? So Elijah said, let me go. God said, but you can't go. You can't go. You have to hand over to some people. And he was looking. He said, but I'm alone. Who do I hand over to? And I was looking at Elijah, the only boy that had been running up and down with him. Do you remember that boy? Eh? Who was going to check whether the cloud is there or not. Do you remember that young man? Earlier in that chapter, he left him somewhere in Beersheba. You know what he said? He said, don't let my problem become your problem. You're a young man, go and find something to do with your life. They want to kill me now. And the young man agreed. Young men that were supposed to take the baton of anointing, they quickly accept the offer for pleasure. Some of you, any little difficulty, any little suffering, you went back. That young man, whom Elijah would have said, except this boy who had been with me, that boy agreed to go and sit down back in Bethel. I don't know whether you are thinking. When they see him, say, oh boy, where is your guy? Where is Elijah? You are the one running up and I say, I decided to face reality. I'm trying to settle down now. Going up and down with that man, I'm tired. Just before he will collect the anointing, he agreed to settle down for pleasure. If there's going to be a future for Nigeria, there has to be some remnants that will arise from here. If the church is not going to be washed off, and some of you are saying, can it happen? So God said to Elijah, and these are the remnants that God was listening, and I'm praying that God will look into this meeting tonight and find several of us worthy, meant to be mentioned, to be called forth, to be set on fire, to take over what heaven is advertising. Now, come back to the passage. I'm not going beyond that passage here tonight because there are too many issues in that, and then we'll go on from there. The Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Azariah to be king over Syria. I was eager. I was thinking that as Elijah would be going back, he would just see Azariah immediately. But I remember, Azariah did not show up in the story until this man of God actually died. Are you hearing me? I was thinking that as he was going, there was a Jehu that he would see there and then. God mentioned Jehu to Elijah. God mentioned Azariah to Elijah. God mentioned Elisha to Elijah. Is there someone here tonight that God will mention your name? I say, don't worry. There's an Azariah here. There is a Jehu here. There is an Elisha here. You didn't see them, but I have seen them. You have not met them because they were men that I'm grooming in the secret place. You have not met them, but they are here. I'm just praying that by the time I'm ending this short message tonight, God will mention your name. Amen. God will speak about you. Amen. Speak about what you will likely become as you lay down your life. God was mentioning Jehu. Can you imagine that Jehu was one of those young men around Ahab in those days? But Jehu had a passion. God saw it. God saw that even though Jehu is in the midst of all these people, Jehu had an assignment for me. And I thank God for Jehu. When Jehu was eventually brought up, they said he was driving with a zeal. And they looked at him, they said, who is driving like that? They said, the driving is like the driving of who? Of Jehu. You know what that means? Right from when he was young, there was a way he drives. There was something God saw in Jehu. There was a zeal in his life. There was a man inside of him that if you give him an assignment, the way he drives about it, heaven noted it. God noted it. And when Jezebel, are you hearing me? Jezebel was standing in the gallery of the palace. And he stood there and said, who is that man there? Are you going to rebel against your master? You know what Jehu did? Jehu said, who is on the Lord's side? Throw that woman down here. There are people there who could throw away Jezebel. And so, somebody just came behind the woman, not fearing that she was the queen, and just tumbled her like this. By the time she was landing, her head broke. Her intestine scattered. Nobody had time to bury her. Dogs ate her up, according to the prophecy of Elijah. There were men whom God is using to bring prophecy over this land, over this nation. We may not be there to execute the prophecy, but can there be a Jehu in this meeting? Can there be an Isaiah in this meeting? Will God find an Elisha in this meeting? Who will become the executors of prophecy? Who will bring the word of the Lord? Who will bring it to pass? They look like remnants. Nobody noticed them. As at the time that God was mentioning Elisha to Elijah. Are you hearing me? What was Elisha doing? What was he doing? He was a farmer. He was busy on the farm. As if he was destined to be a farmer. And God said, Elisha is the one who will you take your place as you are going. And truly, he saw Elisha busy, busy. Some of you are busy. But what you are busy doing has no consequence for eternity. And when Elisha got to know that God has mentioned my name, Elijah didn't need to talk. He just threw his mantle on him. And the young man knew that, this is a matter. He ran first. He thought it was temporary. Are you hearing me? He thought sometimes, oh, yes. Elijah said, what have I done to you? Go back again. Go back again. You don't understand. He understood. What did he do? He went back. The yoke of oxen he was farming with, he scattered them. He boiled the meat. He used the wood to cook it. He distributed to all his customers. Say, I, Elisha Agricultural Company, director. I have seen the reason why I was born. I have discovered what I was to live for. There's a man, an outgoing man. There's a man of God who carries an anointing for our generation. He has been running. Now he has to go. And he must not go with that anointing. I must go and follow him. I must go and collect it for this generation. Otherwise, something will be lost. And as I'm following this man, I must collect the double portion of that spirit. Because my generation is going to be more difficult, more wicked than the generation he served. We go find some remnant in this meeting tonight. I will soon be asking you to join me in prayer. But God said something that I thought I should end with. That's where I ended in the afternoon. And that's where I need again to end tonight, because I can't go beyond that. God said, and I want you to see what God said. To me, it was very strategic, and I want all of you to hear me now. God said, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shall thou anoint to be prophet in your room. Now listen to the word of God. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael. Are you hearing me? So which means the next generation that God must raise cannot be one man ministry. You are not hearing me at all. The generation that God wants to call these remnants, they are not individualistic people. They are not those who can cooperate. They are not those who will allow this land to waste away because they are insisting on their own things. They are not those who are more interested in putting labor than in killing the enemy. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? God was saying, whosoever escapes the sword of Hazael, what will happen? Jehu, we do what? Because we don't need anybody to escape. And if anyone should escape the sword of Jehu, Elisha will do what? Will kill. I was wondering, so Elisha is also part of this. Which means the next generation that we are looking for, the remnant we are looking for, all of you hear me, they are not only going to be Elisha's company. They are not just going to be those who are on the pulpit. They are not just going to be those whose ministry platform is to preach, to prophesy. We will need kings and rulers. We will need those who are going into traditional rulers, not to collect money, not to confiscate people's land, but to deal with unrighteousness. We will need people who will have to take their position at various gates, that if anyone should escape here, you can't escape here. If you escape this, you can't escape that. Because they are all standing to defend the heritage of the Lord. Those are the people we are looking for now. Not individualistic, who are making name for themselves, but letting the enemy escape. God is looking for many dimensional kind of ministerial assignments. Those who will go into the school system, and they are doing it as a ministry, and said, if a boy should escape from the pastor, he cannot escape in my class. And if he should escape in my class in the secondary school, he will not escape the brother who is waiting for him in the university. He will not escape the sword of Jehu. And if at all Jehu could not catch him, Elisha will gun him down. Can God get that kind of team? Because the end time move of God is not like what you used to know. The strategy of Satan is multifaceted now. We can't keep quiet again. Somebody has to stand in the House of Assembly to defeat those useless bills that they are bringing. But they can't be those who went into politics to make money. They have to be those who are saying, here am I, Lord, do what? Send me. I don't intend to finish a tenure. I only need to be there to defeat the cancer of Ahithophel. But they have to be raised from the sanctuary for them to do the kind of assignment that we are looking for. Would there be such remnant in this meeting tonight? Will I hear somebody say, here am I, O God. Send me, send me. Now, what did the Bible say about them before I finish? It said, yet I have reserved. In the New King James, it said, I have reserved. In the Old King James, it said, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. With 7,000. He said, I have left me, I have reserved. Reserved for a time like this. Reserved for a period of crisis. Reserved for a time when it will look as if I have no man. They are my reserve. I've reserved for myself 7,000 men. Who are they? That's all I want to deal with now. Who? The Bible said, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. When everybody was commanded to bow for Baal, there were these brothers who said, no, I'm not going to worship Baal. It was at a great jeopardy. And I want to remind you, I said in the morning that such boys, there was a threat on their lives also. such that Obadiah has to hide some of them in caves because they will not bow. They will not compromise. Say their knees have not bowed. They have not succumbed to the demand of Satan. They have made a personal commitment to God to live right. Now listen. I said in the morning, and I want to say it again. If there were 7,000 that were gathered in one place, shouting loud, hallelujah, will Elijah not know? Eh? Abba. Elijah will have said, there's a congregation of my brothers and sisters who are standing for God. So how did it happen that Elijah did not know? It is because they were not, listen carefully to me now, they were not public confessors. They were secret people that stood for God in the secrecy of their lives. They were not compromisers in the absence of the multitude. They were not Christians because of environment. They were Christians because they want to be Christians. They fought against sin when nobody was there. They determined not to defy themselves when no one was there. And they took their stand one by one. And God said, yes, there was one there, there was one there, there was one there. And I've counted them. There are 7,000. I have reserved them. May God put you in that number. When I saw this challenge many, many years ago, we threw away our life. I said, God, whatever it will cost, I will live and labor and if possible die for this. I will not say I've not seen some little things I've seen. I will not say God has not been faithful. I have seen God's faithfulness. I will not say God has not worked. He has worked. We have seen some things. But I want to confess to you tonight. The dimension of wickedness, the ravaging that the devil is planning for our generation, is the kind we have never seen before. Are you hearing me? Eh? I knew there was homosexuality that we read about, we preach about it in the Bible. I knew. And I knew in our meetings in those days, in the early days, there were deliverance. Sisters that are lesbians, they are not proud about it. They are not proud about it. They will come, they say, sir, I don't know. Lesbianism is worrying me. I need to be delivered. And we prayed, lay hands, counsel, and they were delivered. Boys, brothers that were homosexuals, they cried. But I've never thought that I would be alive when men will want to be officiated in marriage with another man. When they will walk not just to the registry, they will walk to the church altar. I never thought that churches, denominational churches, will come to that position where they are going to say, it doesn't matter We will join men with men. We will join women with women, and they will wear wedding gown. I never thought I would be alive to see it. I thought that before that kind of thing would happen, rapture would have taken place. But I'm here. And we are beginning to see terrible corruption. The other day, a man was appointed into their government. And he stood up boldly. Say, here you meet my wife. And we're all looking for the wife. It was another man. And he's a top man in government. And that was not an abomination. And it's so painful that now there are even priests who are bold to say they are gay. And the church must not withdraw their license of preaching. My heart broke when the Wesleyan church, the church started by Wesley, the Methodist church in UK, they have now agreed and legalized same-sex marriage in the Methodist church. Now, thank God, let me not see it in Nigeria. But that's where. And I say, God. And some of the brothers that we have told to keep working in the Methodist church of that country, they are writing and say, Bragule, what do we do now? A brother was taken to court simply because he refused to join same-sex marriage in the denomination where he was pastoring. He was taken to court. And the synod did not defend him. The synod said, and I read what the synod did. They wrote letters of apology to the gay members that they are unable to identify with overzealous pastor who was robbing them of their basic rights. In my own lifetime, I pray. Listen to the prayer I want to pray. I pray that the Lord will come quickly and take people like us home. But if he tarries, the generation you are going to serve, they are going to be more terrible than this present one. Those of you that are bananas, you won't be able to stand. Those of you that can easily accept rationalization, you will be sold out. I'm asking you. Even though Elijah, he fought and fought and fought, he cannot go until God has said, but I have 7,000. Who are these 7,000? I said, they have secret consecration with God. They are people that, whether you are there or not, they live in holiness. Listen to me now. They are not supervised holiness. You are not hearing me. Some of you are holy because they are supervising you. When your supervisors are no more there, you look left and right, you misbehave. You are a secret failure, but a public singer. Your inner life are scattered, but your outward activity looks wonderful. Mm-mm. The remnant God is looking for, there are people that no matter where they are holding the fort. They are holy, not because they are supervised to be so. They are holy because they are holy. They are holy because they chose to walk in holiness, whether anybody joins them or not. They fight to keep their faith, even when nobody else is encouraging them. They have not bowed their knees, and their mouth have not kissed back. I'm putting it to you. Will God find? And I see some of you are not eager. You are just noisemakers. You are not bending and say, let me get to the root of the issue. Can God lay an anointing on my life that can deal with these issues? Can I become a voice for God in my generation? I said, these men, they have not bowed. Not because they have not been tempted to bow, but they refuse to bow. They have not bowed, not because they have not been threatened to bow. Did you know the first word? They were tempted to bow. Abi? But they did not. They were threatened to bow. If you don't succumb, you will be this, you will be that. They did not. Can you remember such people who were threatened to bow and refused to bow? Eh? You remember them? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they said, let the king know, we don't care about what you are saying. Your furnace can be hotter 7 times. It doesn't matter. We will rather die than bow to your God. The man was so annoyed. Nobody dared him like that before, but they dared him. He carried them straight away. Wah! Those who threw them there were roasted alive. But the brothers got in there singing. They were threatened to bow, but they have never bowed. They were lured to bow. That is, they were bribed to bow. They were given appointment if they would bow. But they refused to bow. They said, the only problem is this here, Jesus, 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 Jesus. This job, your uncle had said we should give you. But we don't like this noise, the way you are noise. And you, in fact, your dress is not good. You are dressing as if you are a 19th century sister. You become a problem to our work. Go and sharpen your eye. Do a hairstyle that is presentable. This is a 21st century office. Go and do something about your appearance. So, what did you do? You bowed. You started painting your lips. You went and stretched your hair. Then you started this new theology. It is not how I look. Christianity is of the heart. as if we did not know that out of the heart, eh, proceeds everything. And that as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is on the outside. We know you. We know you. You have reduced your skirt now. And you're standing there. When I'm moving, the other one is in between my leg. In between my leg. I need to be sharp. Are you sure? You are bowed. You have compromised. You have sold out. What's going on there? Wait, please. Stop. Ushers, can you go there and check? Praise the I said they were paid to bow. They refused. They were bribed to sell out. They refused. They have personal determination not to defy themselves. I determined, I proposed in my heart not to defy myself. They also propose in their heart to study the word of God. So they knew what the Bible say about things. Praise the Lord. And they did not only propose, they chose to live by the word of God. Not because somebody else is witch hunting them. We go find such remnant here tonight. Eh? So, I want to go before God as we pray together now. Yet, I have reserved for myself 7,000 in Israel. As I ask you to join me in prayer, I want to pray. Yarama, send me. Yarama, he sent me. As the Lord needs somebody to use. Yarama, send me. Yarama, Yarama. Yarama, use me as the Lord needs somebody to use. Yarama, use me. Yarama, Lord, Yarama. Yarama, Lord. Yarama, use me. When the Lord needs somebody to use, Yarama, use me.
Father, tonight, just when you said to Elijah, Azael, Jehu, Elisha, and apart from that, I have reserved 7,000. Who are those people here tonight, oh God, that your eyes are upon? Their names have been mentioned in the heavens. They were born for a time like this. You brought them to yourself because they have a role to play in these days, in this precarious day. Lord, may they hear your voice tonight. May they not hold back tonight. May you find them. May this Calebite conference set them on fire.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, do this work from now.
Amen.
Walk your work.
Amen.
Lord, we are not here again to play about. We are not here again, oh God, just to be talking like parrots. The challenge that has come upon us is serious. Our generation is facing a terrible problem. Things are becoming out of hand. And you are saying, if not for the remnants, this land will have become a Sodom and Gomorrah. This night, oh God. And I know you need them in different nations. I know you are looking for them, oh God, in different countries. Tonight, oh God, as they hear your voice, let them not delay. In the name of Jesus. These men refused to bow. Not because they were not tempted to bow. Not because they were not threatened to bow. Not because they are not lured to bow. Not because they are not paid or bribed to bow. But they chose to be faithful to you. They were not faithful in the presence of other people. They were faithful even when they are alone. Will you find these lives here tonight? Will you do something, oh God, to consecrate several such for this assignment in the coming days?
Amen.
Holy Spirit, please do a new thing tonight.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Now it's your turn. While we are all standing in prayer, I will take that song again. And if you hear the voice of the Lord calling you, if the Spirit of God say, but for this reason you were born and born again, and for this reason I have preserved you, and for this reason I did not allow you to die, it is for a time like this that you are in the kingdom of God. It is not just to be singing about. It's to take your place in the fulfillment of prophecy. It's to say, oh God, what had been hanging in the sky, my life must pull it down. My life must bring it into fulfillment. Here am I tonight. Use me. As we take that song, all those that are saying, yes, I've heard you. And I'm not doing this because I'm depending on someone else. I want to be part of this. And I want to sign my life into your hand. I want to make me an answer to what you're about to do. As the song is going, if you want to come out, I'm not going to press you. I believe the Holy Spirit is
is pulling your ears, is drawing your heart, is saying, who else will I use? God bless you. Here am I, O Lord. Here am I, O Lord. As the Lord needs somebody to use, here am I, use me. Now, brothers, I know you would like to prostrate, but there's not enough space. So just kneel down so that other brothers coming can have space. God bless you. Just kneel down so that we can create space for others that need to come. I want all that need to be here tonight to take their stand. Take my life, Lord. Take my life, Lord. Continue the song. Take my life. Use me, Lord. Here am I. If you are coming, I want you to lift up your hands as you are coming. I say, Lord, God bless you. Just come. Just come down quickly. If you are doing it, please do quick now. Here am I, oh Lord. Here am I. If you are coming, you must do quick. Thank you, that brother. Thank you, that sister. Oh yes. Here am I. Thank you. Here am I, Lord.
Here I am.
If you are coming here and you are saying, Lord Jesus, I don't want to be a secret compromiser. I want to take my space. I want to be that remnant. Men have been carrying this battle. And I'm ready to collect it. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, my friend. If you are coming here, do quick. Some brothers are standing there. And the Holy Spirit is saying, this is the issue I've been raising with you for 5 years. This is the matter I've been confronting you with for years. Tonight, are you saying yes to the Lord? Are you saying yes to the Lord? Oh, Yarama, use me, Lord. Yarama, touch my life. Thank you, Father. The Lord needs somebody in my generation. Thank you, Jesus. Choir, thank you. It's okay. Remo Shantaya Baba Kauramashiri. I decided to allow you to respond to God by yourself tonight. I hope you are doing so. I hope you are walking out before God. I hope you are not standing stiff when the Spirit of God is saying, there's a number that heaven had mentioned, and you are one of them. Heaven is mentioning names, and you are hearing a resounding noise in your ears. How will you say, I didn't hear? Step out before God tonight. Thank you, my dear sister. Just come down. That young man, you need to move fast. That young brother, you need to run now. It is not time to be joking about.
Holy Spirit, please have your way tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way. Are you coming this way? You need to move fast. Your life will have been something else. But see what you have been doing. Thank you, dear lady. As you give your heart to Christ here tonight, a destiny will be set before you. Thank you, young lady. If you did not hand it over to Christ, crisis will come over it. Thank you, dear young girl. If you don't hand it over to Jesus, the enemy is already planning how to destroy it. Thank you, dear sister. Just come down quickly. God bless you tonight. Young man, God bless you tonight. That sister, I said you should just get on your knees and say, Lord, tonight, my life must not be a waste. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend, my brother. Young man, you are coming here. You can't do that lazily. Step down before God and kneel down and say, Lord, this life must not be a waste. See all the struggle you have had. See the things that is pressing you to bow down. Tonight, can you step and say, God, I would rather bow my knee to the Lord than bow to immorality. I will not bow to the pressures of sin. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Do you remember that Elisha was busy, but God needed to take that life? Thank you, dear lady. I'm about to conclude now. I'm about to say yes to the Lord tonight. God bless you. If you have to come down, just fall on your knees and say, Lord, just do something with my life. Break the yoke of my life tonight. Set me free to walk with you. Amen. All right. I say yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. I say yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. And I say yes, Lord. I say yes, 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 Lord. I say yes, 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 my Lord. I say yes, no more to argue with you, no more to hold back. No more to be used by the kingdom of darkness. No more, no more to waste away. I say yes, 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 Lord. Will you lift up your hands and say yes to God tonight? Will you say yes to the Lord tonight? Will you say yes to him tonight? I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. One more time. I say yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. You're in the congregation. God is saying, when will you say yes? When you say yes to me? When will you be? When will you make your opinion? When will you stop declaring? When will you end your doubts? I say yes, 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 Lord. Are you lifting up those hands to heaven and say, I say yes to you, Lord? I say yes, Lord, to you. Young man, I say yes to you, Lord. Thank you, my friend. There are several people that are raising those hands to say yes to God in the congregation. Raise it above your head. And say, me, I say yes to you. I cannot leave Kilabyte to be plucking flowers. My life is going to count for heaven. Thank you, my friend. I've seen you standing by your car and you are lifting up your two hands. I say yes to you, Lord. I see those of you outside and you are raising those hands and say yes to God. That Calebite conference, number me among these remnants who will forestall a collapse, who will bring about transformation. And wherever you will send me to stand, I refuse to bow. I refuse to kiss the gods of this generation. I say yes to you, Lord. With your two hands lifted to heaven, let's do that song one more time finally. I say yes. Yes. Yes, yes, Lord. I say yes. Yes, yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes. Yes, yes, Lord. Our Father, look at our hands. Every allegiance to the devil we break tonight. The other man accepted to stay back for pleasure and he was finally lost. Nothing will settle us back into irrelevance in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, look at our hands. We are saying yes to you. If there is anything our life must count for, it must count for this. And as we stand and say yes to you tonight, we say no to Satan.
Amen.
We say no to the world system.
Amen.
We say no to sin.
Amen.
We say no, 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 no to compromise.
Amen.
We say no. We will live for Jesus.
Amen.
We will live for Jesus.
Amen.
When Esther said, if I perish, I perish, she didn't perish after all. Yet they turned their land upside right for God. We say yes to you tonight. When Daniel said yes to you, he refused to defile himself. When Joseph said yes to you, Potiphar's wife couldn't conquer him. This night, Father, we say yes to you.
Amen.
Every secret failure, we outlaw it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every secret defeat from tonight, we say no to it in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Every fear that leads to compromise, that makes us not to take a stand for God, we say no to such things tonight.
Amen.
As we say yes to you, O God, we say yes all the way.
Amen.
We say yes at all times.
Amen.
We say yes to you in all things.
Amen.
We say yes to you in everywhere.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, tonight, I lift up my heart to you on behalf of these hands that have been lifted, both inside and outside, who are saying, oh God, this baton must not drop.
I must be positioned to collect it.
Amen.
Lord, I ask that this nation, this land, your church in our generation will not be swept away.
Amen.
All that Satan has determined and they have planned, it shall never see the light of day.
Amen.
Lord, as you begin to locate, you say Azariah, Jehu, Elisha, 7,000 men that have not bowed their knees. I ask, oh God, tonight, locate each one of these people.
Amen.
Set them in their position of authority.
Amen.
Let their fire begin to burn from tonight.
Amen.
Every hand that is needed to mold them, to prepare them, to place your purpose on their faces, please raise them now in the name of Jesus
Christ.
Is there any covenant Satan made with any of you tonight? I break it in the name of Jesus
Christ. Amen.
Are you in any addiction over years? That addiction is broken in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Have you been sold out to something? Is there a confederacy that was made over your head? And as if you are destined to serve a particular spirit, this night, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we set you free.
Amen.
You will not serve the devil.
Amen.
You will not serve the foreign god.
Amen.
The Lord your God you will serve.
Amen.
And victoriously you will walk with him.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From this night, Father, put your hand on their lives.
Amen.
Put your mark upon their heads.
Amen.
Distinguish them among men.
Amen.
You selected and brought out Mordecai. You brought out Esther. You brought out these brothers, even Ezra, Joshua, all of these people that nobody thought about. They began to shoot forth. Lord, shoot this one forth. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Father, there's another man that we need to call on you for. Those who stand in between opinion tonight. Those who are neither hot nor cold. They have heard your voice. But they said, I will think about it. This was what this man said 5 years ago. And several calamities are lined up before him. How I plead with you tonight, that your mercy will pull him over in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God is pointing at you. Do not persist like the Reubenites, who were listening to the fleeting of the sheep, and they could not decide to do the right thing. They missed the opportunity. Father, don't let this man miss that opportunity.
Yes.
Please call him forth by yourself now.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If you are that man, just quickly crawl in and say, Father, the opportunity you are giving me tonight must not pass me by. Just do that quickly. And so, Lord, as we rise from here, let your face shine upon these ones.
Amen.
The few counsel that they will receive, let it position them for the future.
Amen.
Lord, as we look forward to what you are going to do, the impartation of your spirit, none of us will miss our own.
Amen.
Thank you. And so, Father, as you have stabilized this camp, There shall be no destruction of any kind.
Amen.
There shall be no diversion of any kind.
Amen.
What you are doing in our midst shall be made perfect.
Amen.
And Kedebat Conference this year will release men and women who are taking the battle to the gates.
Amen.
You are speaking as though you are in haste. We ask, O God, that your purpose will prosper in our midst.
Amen.
Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.